with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved. Here is Dr. James Houck.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, wherever you are in the world at this time, and welcome to Reclaiming Authenticity, finding one's courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. Very excited to be with you here today and every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, straight up noon Pacific Standard Time. Each and every week, these broadcasts are dedicated to the integration of spirituality and mental health. And today's subject is certainly straight up that alley. It is See You on the Dark Side of the Moon. Now, like before you get excited and think I'm going to start ripping off Pink Floyd, that's not exactly what I'm going to be talking about today, but we'll get to it. So I am Dr. James Houck, and if you would like more information about me or to leave me your comments about today's show, please visit the website www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. That's all one word. So www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. And if you'd like to be part of the show, please call in. I always enjoy talking to listeners. That number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And these broadcasts are also podcasted. In case you want to go back and listen again, you can go back into the archives and listen to previous shows. Well, before we get into the dark side of the moon, for those of you new to the program, I would like to say that I am a firm believer that all of us, no matter where we live or what language we speak or other customs and norms that we follow, all of us come into the world already equipped and graced with everything that we need in this life in terms of our, let's say, giftedness or our skills, our talents, our strengths, character traits, etc., etc. However, as we go along in life and due to some unpleasant experiences, we may tend to hide our giftedness, our uniqueness, or we push our giftedness way down so that others can't see it to avoid ridicule or shame. Or perhaps maybe we were told that we would never amount to anything, or whatever other voice we heard telling us that there's nothing special to us. Well, at any rate, we do not realize our giftedness, and we often go through life functioning from a place of woundedness instead of a place of healing and wholeness and a uniqueness, or one of my favorite words, hachetas. It is your thisness. So I encourage everybody to find their thisness, and this is what reclaiming authenticity is all about, realizing that there is so much more to us than what we have become so far, as well as having the courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. Now, how is your heart today? I hope it is well and you are well. I hope that even if you are struggling today, you will find rest and comfort and the peace that you need. And here we are, just a little under a week away from Thanksgiving. So it's going to look a little different this year for many people. But I have faith in humanity that we'll all find ways to connect with our loved ones and celebrate Thanksgiving in a way that's safe and so forth. So I will be with you next Friday, but I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving early now, and just really take the day to sit with all that has been in your heart lately regarding the things that you need to express gratitude for, as well as the people in your life, just having the gratitude for those relationships. So, how many of you are familiar with the song The Dark Side of the Moon? Anybody? Well, apart from being one of the coolest albums ever produced and sung by Pink Floyd, The Dark Side of the Moon is actually a reference to the Far Side of the Moon. And I know that you've seen those Far Side comics. But anyway, the Far Side of the Moon, which always faces away from the Earth. In fact, according to astronomers, you know, both sides of the moon have about 2 weeks of sunlight and then followed by 2 weeks of darkness, which is where we get the phrase, the dark side of the moon. And that's where it comes from. So, like I said, I have no intention of ripping off Pink Floyd. Like I said, great musicians, great albums, great music. They stand the test of time, and I really enjoy them. However, today I wanted to explore how we can make friends with our shadow side, that side of our personality that contains all the parts of ourselves, those parts even that we don't want to admit having. See, the shadow often shows up in unconscious levels at first, like through dreams and such, but then it slowly moves into our conscious levels as we understand those parts, and then we have a choice to make. That once we become aware of these, parts of ourselves that we don't like, we refer to them as the shadow side, we have a choice as to whether or not we are going to let them continue just being the shadow, or are we going to find a way to heal and integrate them into our lives? Okay, so as kids, any of you fascinated about how your bodies produced a shadow when you went outside and you faced the sun and looked behind you? And I don't know how old you might have been at the time, but you know, the first time you saw your shadow and how you tried to outrun it, but it was right there with you. Or we try to grab our shadow and it just, well, that's futile. But that's the joy and the magic of being kids, discovering those things. Or maybe you even had fun making those puppet shapes with your hands. You know, if you're one of those kids that stood in front of a movie projector, or when, you know, had a flashlight and projected, you know, the light on the wall and you did your puppets. Either way, we didn't really pay much attention to our shadows when it came to things, you know, the things that we don't like about ourselves. We just thought it was something outside of ourselves that's cool, you know, just because that's how, you know, the light shines and so forth. We were just, you know, having fun. So I know many of us have often grown up with, you know, being afraid of the dark in one form or another, and, you know, maybe never learned to face it or overcome it. And I don't know about you, but I was always told as a young boy that there was nothing to be afraid of when it came to the dark, because there is nothing in the dark which also cannot be found in the light. Well, that's a good point. But getting back to the dark side, or getting back to the shadow side, it was actually the work of the Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung that brought the whole concept of the shadow in clinical terms to our awareness and understanding of who we are. And this aspect of ourselves has long been recognized as a universal feature of people. It's just something that we all have in common. Again, doesn't matter where we come from or what language we speak and what customs we follow. This is a universal recognition, the shadow side of ourselves. And according to Jung, the shadow always represented for him the source of both our inner creativity and destructive energies. Think of it in terms of Robert Louis Stevenson's story of The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. In this story, you know, Dr. Jekyll represents the respectable part of one's personality, but when he transforms, into Mr. Hyde, his shadow personality gains dominance over him and wreaks havoc on his life. And this shadow is the psychological term for everything that we cannot see in ourselves. But interestingly, Robert Louis Stevens wrote this story back in 1886, a few years before Carl Jung was born. So this concept of what lurks inside, that is the shadow, was already becoming, you know, a slowly understood concept. Now, most of us go through great lengths to protect our self-image from anything unflattering or unfamiliar. In fact, many people I counsel often struggle with the concept that they have the capacity for good and evil, or evil and good. I mean, for example, you know, how can a person have the capacity to love another person very, very deeply, yet at the same time hurt them very, very deeply? I mean, how can those two seemingly opposing emotions and energies coexist? Well, I have a friend who excels in both martial arts and acupuncture. It's kind of an interesting combination. And I asked him one day, you know, which discipline did you learn first? And he said that he was first taught acupuncture, then he learned martial arts. And this all came, he said, from his teacher, who first sat him down when he came to him and asked to be trained. He told him that it's easy to hurt another person. Wounding another person is easy, he said. But to learn how to heal another person takes a greater discipline. And his teacher understood that the capacity to hurt and heal is inside everyone. And so my friend was taught both. You know, most of the time, society often tells us to look at ourselves in terms of this dualistic sense of good or evil, or you're either this or you're that, or you're in or you're out. And we get caught up in this back and forth, and it's either this way or it's that way. In fact, we may have learned to use both good and evil to our advantage at times. Okay? This is what I mean. Have you ever seen those t-shirts that people wear that read, and I'll clean up the language a bit, it reads 50% angel, 50% devil, or whatever, you know, some other alternative, but you get the meaning. And I often wondered why anyone would want to make that statement, let alone make it public. You're wearing a t-shirt outside. Unless, of course, a person is proud of the fact that he or she can keep others off balance, or at least at a distance. You know, be nice to me, and I'll be nice to you. But if you're not nice to me, you'll get the horns, and I'll make you pay. And yet, you will not believe the number of times I hear the same people complain about how lonely and miserable they are. I mean, we can't expect to have it both ways. Now, in all fairness, you know, keeping people at bay in this sense comes from a place that has been wounded and has yet to be healed. And granted, people who have been previously hurt in relationships are leery of being hurt again. I understand that. I get that fully. However, others may shy away from a person who has been hurt tremendously because they don't want to risk saying something or doing something in which they're going to get the, you know, so-called horns. So there's a potential for both not being able to be in a healthy, satisfying relationship. A common expression that cuts across all generations and races and cultures is that we reap what we sow. And many agricultural societies understand this concept better than others who have never put a seed in the ground. If, just in case you're wondering, bread doesn't necessarily come from a store. Just kidding. You know, it does take, somebody to till the earth and put the seed in and then, nurture it along the way. And then when it's ready to be harvest, the whole process. Okay. So, but it was funny because that was one of the things I was just always amazed that we can get bread and milk just going to the store. And when I learned that, because milk comes from a cow and then, bread comes from wheat and so forth, I was like, okay, now I get it. I get it. So this concept of reaping what we sow, or karma, or what goes around comes around, is very, very true. If you have good soil, good seed, enough water, sun, and care, then you're going to produce a healthy crop. I read, it was probably a little over 2 months ago, that just a little quick quote, that the Chinese have the saying that if a man plants melons, he will reap melons. And if he sows beans, he will reap beans. In other words, every action is going to produce an outcome or a consequence or a reward. And yet, there is another way to express this same idea in terms of a person's character. One evening, an old Cherokee sat with his grandson and told him about a battle that goes on inside of people. He said to him, grandson, the battle is between two wolves inside of us. One is evil. It is angry. It is envious. It has jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. However, the other wolf is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Well, his grandson thought about this for a while, and then perplexed, he asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old Cherokee looked down at his grandson, smiled, and simply replied, it's the one that you feed. Well, certainly that which we feed, whether it be physically or emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, grows to produce more of the same. This concept is just very true, whether we are referring to agriculture or our own human desires. And despite our perceived differences in race or language, religion, culture, there is actually a common Native American expression that emphasizes interconnectedness among all that we see, namely, Matokie Oesen. All are related. This phrase is understood by the Lakota Sioux people as an expression extending to all of creation. So that means everything, humanity, animals, vegetation, minerals, elements, land, water, thunder, fire, wind, sun, moon, stars, etc., are connected to one another and affect one another. And again, I can't speak for you, but for me, I just consider the fact that for far too long, humanity in general has been influenced by a what's in it for me kind of approach to life. And as much as we can become enthralled by our gifts and giftedness, please do keep in mind that our talents and skills and blessing and knowledge and wisdom are not for ourselves. These are the gifts that are for the benefit of somebody else. It's true that everybody brings in their own uniqueness and their talents and skills and giftedness and so forth, but we find that this giftedness about us, this hecheitas, or this uniqueness, can flourish even more when we recognize that what we've brought into this world, as in ourselves, is used to be a blessing to others, to help them or to help them recognize their giftedness, or to use a particular talent or skill that we have to help somebody out, so that in doing so, perhaps they get in touch with their uniqueness and skills and giftedness. Well, reclaiming our authenticity, compels us to ask, how then can we serve humanity? How can we alleviate suffering? How can we speak up for those who do not have a voice? And this is what authenticity is really all about. The more authentic we can become actually gives permission to others to behave more authentically. Some might say that they are content being who they are. You know, they're completely happy. But what we need to ask ourselves, you know, just for ourselves is, am I truly being authentic today? Am I being honest and genuine in my relationships? And why are we waiting until we are retired, you know, whenever that will be, to do what we've always dreamed of doing? I mean, just I don't understand when people say, well, I'll get around to it, or I'm waiting until later on in life. I mean, I don't know what people are waiting for. I mean, we all want to have, you know, our bills paid, and we want to make sure we have enough money in the bank or whatever it is. But too many people play the I'll get around to it someday game, while the vulnerable and the wounded people are in need now. And such hurting people need others to see in them the potential to live authentically, including the benefit of reclaiming authenticity. And perhaps people believe that they have too much to lose to be authentic. Perhaps they do not know or fear that people will not accept them as they are. Perhaps they have a fear of, you know, their own rejection, ridicule, shame, being ostracized or shunned. Well, the Native Americans have a saying also passed down from ancient times that the strength of a tree comes not from growing thicker in the good years when there is enough water, but from staying alive in the very bad, dry times. And we live in a time when, as we focus on the virtue of stewardship, the one gift that we need to foster and treasure is the gift of ourself, our inner life, and our spirit of resiliency, and so on and so on. There's great value in reclaiming our authenticity because we find an inner freedom and strength and peace and assurance of who we are without giving away our uniqueness, playing by somebody else's rules or definitions or expectations. And for some, finding their inner strength to stand on their own two feet further empowers them to reach out for better relationships or better jobs or more justice and so forth. And indeed, those who are authentic often find God's blessings. I believe this is where the next great spiritual awakening is going to really come from, finding our strength to reclaim our authenticity. And then how that just opens up the rest of us in terms of gratitude, and how gratitude opens up our hearts and so on and so forth, and relationships improve and lives are transformed. And we live in a time when this is truer than ever before. And really, it comes back to us. Just, it's true, the choice is ours. But just like in the story, you know, what are we going to feed? Now, if we feed inauthenticity and our shadow side, whatever that is for us, then we will simply get more of the same. But if we heal and integrate the shadow, we will behave more genuine and responsible in our relationships. And once we understand this, the blame game starts and stops with us. I mean, are we going to be content to just simply throw up our hands and fatalistically say, well, you know, that's just the way the world is. Nothing we can do about it. Or do we realize that one simple act of kindness, and love, and authenticity is going to send out ripples? Ripples of transformation that is definitely washed back ashore to us. In addition to what we've brought into this world, we also have been given tremendous power, and too much power at times, because without authenticity of the self, that power, it has been used to wound and damage others, and is extremely dangerous, just as history has demonstrated. But yet, on the other hand, with authenticity comes a correct use of that power, and it's been tempered with wisdom and grace for the betterment of all. And reclaiming our authenticity means that we now have the capacity to change, the power to be that which has yet to be realized. And when we experience this psycho-spiritual transformation, as I like to call it, we catch a glimpse of the beginning of something greater than ourselves with unlimited potential for life. And unfortunately, not everybody wants to do this or is ready to do this. However, society would also want to share its disappointment in whatever form that takes. The people who are acting, let's say, authentic or trying to be genuine, it's almost as if it shines an extremely bright light in the eyes of the world, and the world is then forced to either be drawn to that light or it will run away and hide. I know I had mentioned this before, but in his work entitled The Return of the Prodigal Son, Henry Nouwen, he also struggled with his shadow side, as you know, he may not have put it that way, but definitely measuring up to the expectations of others. And one of my favorite quotes here, I'll be reading here in a second, but it really puts it into perspective of the power of transformation and integrating the shadow side. He writes, "As long as I keep running about asking, 'Do you love me? I mean, do you really love me?' I give all the power to the voices of the world, and I put myself in chains because the world is filled with ifs. The world says, 'Oh, yeah, I love you, if you are good-looking, intelligent, and wealthy. And I love you if you have a good education, a good job, and good connections. I love you if you produce much, or you sell much, or you buy much.' Well, there are endless ifs hidden in the world's love. And these ifs enslave me, since it's impossible to respond adequately to all of them. The world's love is and always will be conditional. And as long as I keep looking for my truth self in the world of conditional love, I will remain hooked to the world, trying, failing, and trying again. It is a world that fosters addictions when you think about it, because what it offers cannot satisfy the deepest craving of my heart." Well, I would really love to hear your heart on this matter of the shadow or the dark side of the moon. So again, if you would like to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. And I will be taking your phone calls after the break. Again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity, and I'm your host, Dr. James Houck. I'll be right back with you in 1 minute. Welcome back. I am Dr. James Houck, and you're listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. Again, I just want to share a little bit about next week's show. Next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time. In addition to, you know, talking a little bit about what everybody ate the day before or who won the football game, you know, and who you were rooting for, have an interesting subject to talk about. It's, do you hear what I hear? Listening for the sound of silence. So we're going to be talking a little bit about irony and where do we hear the sound of silence in our lives. Okay, well, I invite you to join me next week. Well, early in the broadcast, I was talking about how we can make friends with our shadow side, that this was something that Carl Jung had brought out in his understanding of the psyche, and the shadow being that side of our personality that contains all the parts of ourselves that we don't want to admit having. And Jung, you know, through the years, he just said that the shadow often shows up in unconscious levels first, where we would have certain dreams or, you know, just strange symbolism, you know, in our dreams. And just how do you make sense of that and what's going on here? But just realizing that the parts of ourselves that we don't want to look at or listen to, well, they're bubbling up to the surface. And they often do that at first when we are unconscious, namely when we are sleeping. So, and then Jung went on to say that once they, you know, pop up in the unconscious, then moves into our conscious level as we understand those parts and we seek to heal and hopefully integrate them into our lives. And again, as I said, it's not either this or that. It's not, you know, the shadow side, light side. It is everything about us. But we compartmentalize things or we just live in this dualistic aspect when it's actually a both and. That what we call the shadow side is actually those places in our life or those experiences or whatever it might be that we really don't want to look at. And so we just kind of, you know, quickly just cast those things aside, but they're not going away because until something is healed and integrated into our lives, it's going to be coming up again and again and again. Well, the shadow. As I said, Carl Jung started off by saying that it shows up unconsciously, then consciously, and then to integrate, to heal and integrate, you know, that those parts. And, you know, how often do we receive, when you think about it, how often do we receive our deepest emotional or psychological or physical or spiritual wounds as a result of being in relationships with one another? You know, this is, you know, what I consider to be like the backdrop of everything, just relationships. Everything we do has an impact on relationships. Everything we say, everything that we think, the kind of energy that we put out there or not affects relationships. Okay. So we often receive these wounds being in relationships with one another, and it really doesn't matter at times whether the wounding was intentional or accidental, because it's what we do afterwards. Once we have been wounded, or that we've been wounded by another person, that will either reinforce those wounds, you know, psychologically or emotionally, or find a way to be healed and be free from those burdens. In fact, the irony is that in order to find our healing, we need to be in healthier relationships in order to heal from these damaged emotions or wounded spirits or lack of emotional and psychological support. Well, as a counseling educator, clinician, pastoral professional, I'm often saddened by people's beliefs that when it comes to addressing their physical, emotional, or spiritual problems, how they often consider themselves powerless without a voice. And perhaps this is a result of never feeling valued or never allowed to use their voice. And admittedly, many people are unable to perceive their insights or their strengths, as if they cannot see themselves capable of healing, or let alone anything, you know, achieving anything meaningful with their lives. And most of the time, people are content to live for brief moments of joy and celebration, and then it's marked off by those transitional milestones in our lives, such as a child's baptism or marriage or celebrating birthdays, or graduations, or somebody got a promotion, or somebody is going to retire, whatever it might be. Well, furthermore, when it comes to wrestling with life's questions, many people are often overwhelmed, not only by the concept that the answers they seek often lie within themselves, and then getting back to the shadow side and so forth, but also they have this belief that inner freedom or peace or joy and unconditional love are just too good to be true. I mean, those things belong to somebody else. I just don't know what I would do if I had them, because I've perhaps never had them, and so forth. So how do we transform this shadow side of ourselves? And I think it's interesting that, the idea that the shadow contains not just destructive aspects of our personality, but it also has the potential to have very strong creative capabilities. And during our childhood or adulthood development, certain traits or impulses may have been condemned by our family or maybe our colleagues, our peers or educators, not out of a care, but out of envy or fear, ignorance or jealousy. And really, no progress or growth is possible until the shadow is adequately confronted. And confronting means more than merely knowing about it. It's not until we've been truly shocked into seeing, oh, so that's who I am? Instead of, as we wish or hopefully assume, that's when we actually take the first step toward a very healthy approach to integrate healing and integrating the shadow side. Because as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, that there is so much more to us than what we can possibly fathom. And we get glimpses of that from time to time, and it might scare us. But, it is reality nonetheless. But yet, again, we have everything that we need, because we come into this world with everything that we've been equipped by God, gifts, graces, talents, and so forth. Okay. But we also need to summon the courage to take a look at the shadow side squarely in the face, if it has a face, but just realizing that how much of our, shall we say, perception of what our shadow side is, how much of that have we allowed to take from us or kept us from participating or finding love in our lives? Or perhaps, I'm another firm believer that, God is the God of second chances. So, with God, there is forgiveness. So people can, find the kind of life that they would like to live, as a result of, embracing God's grace and forgiveness. So, as I said, no progress or growth on our part, or, until we've really looked the shadow, in the face and confront it and just realize how much it has been taken away from us. Okay. And it's not just an awareness, but it's what we do with that awareness. Okay. So, one of the things, I'm going to just share several points here that I've come to learn over the years and appreciate and still working on myself when it comes to the so-called shadow side, or the things that I see in myself that are in desperate need of transformation. So, as I said, we confront those things. We realize that, those things are not in charge. We are. So first step in taking back our power over the shadow side is to take an honest look at emotions that may be attached to it. Maybe there's just an enormous amount of shame. Maybe there's an enormous amount of guilt. And so we banish the shame. We say, sorry, time to go. Time to heal this. You are no longer going to hold this over my head. And it's the first step towards unconditional self-acceptance. Shame is very toxic in our lives, and it could come from a number of different reasons or sources. And shame is just words before we internalize it. So let's just say, for an example, growing up, you might have heard somebody say to you, you're kind of awkward and backward and shy, and you're just, I don't know. I don't think you're going to make anything of yourself. And, we hear that even at an early age, we hear that, and we may not think anything of it, or we might take it in and we believe it, hook, line, and sinker. And that's when shame starts to take root in our lives. And as the roots start to really dig in, and as that shame is reinforced by perhaps other things that people have done, or since we've internalized it, we do the reinforcing by looking at everything now through this shame. And that leads to self-loathing. It just leads to being, truly unable to love another, with that joy and that unconditional love, because we're so wrestling with, the shame that we just simply cannot get away with, because we've just heard something, we took it in, and it just was reinforced, and we ended up believing it as if that's all there is to us. And so, squarely looking at the shadow side of those parts we don't like about ourselves, just look it right in the eye, and then banish the shame, heal from the shame, heal from the guilt, heal from those emotions that perhaps may have plagued you ever since you were little, and you're still trying to get away from those things as an adult. Call out shame in your life. Call it out. Write about it. Put it on the table. Look at it. Give it a shape. Give it a name. Give it an object or something. But realize that it has been taking so much from you. It has been keeping you from doing so much. And also keeping you from being the very best you. Keeping those things still down inside of you that have yet to come out, the good things that humanity is really hungry for. So in addition to banning the shame and the guilt, or whatever is coming up, and say the emotion, write it down in a journal, write it out. That will reinforce the message of just how shame is no longer going to have any voice in your life. Okay, so write it down and keep track of your dreams and whatever messages and symbols that come up as a result. And even if you wake up in the middle of the night and you have to quickly scribble down gibberish, because don't tell yourself, well, I'll remember that in the morning. Forget it. It's not going to happen. So you have to write it down and keep that journal handy right beside your bed at night. And then another aspect that, truly works to heal the shadow side of ourselves is to laugh at ourselves. Laugh at ourselves. Don't take ourselves so seriously. I mean, how many times have we heard that message? That's a popular phrase, but do we know how to do that? And let's back up here a minute. How many of us take time off just to have fun? just to, you know, act like a fool or whatever that is for you, as long as it's legal and you're not going to get arrested. Okay. But, you know, how many times you just laugh at yourself, you know, just you've either did something or here's a classic one. You have this idea that you're going to do something and you have it all planned out in your mind as to how it's going to come off. Let's say you're going to play a joke on somebody. Okay. And then, you know, it just, they catch on to what you're doing and it just kind of backfires and blows up in your face. And in doing so, you fall down or you trip over something and you look so foolish or whatever it is, you fall in the river or the ocean. And, yeah, no harm, no foul. It's just one of those things where we just have to just, okay, laugh at ourselves because, you know, just what we expected and what didn't happen sometimes. So also, spend time meditating each day with a focus on self-compassion and acceptance of our own humanness, our own shadow side. And as I said earlier in the broadcast, it seems as though we go back and forth and get caught up in this dualistic, I'm either this way or I'm that way. And dealing with the shadow side is not a either or, it's a both and. It comes from the same place in us. And we have that capacity for good and evil, or we have that capacity to wound and heal others. And yet, what do? How can we have two opposing emotions or forces or perspectives in one? How do we live that out? How do we hold that? How do we share those things? Okay. So meditate with the focus on having compassion for yourself and accepting your own humanness, accepting, you know, your giftedness, the graces, your strengths, your skills, those good qualities, your uniqueness. How many of us struggle with that, though? Do we struggle with this self-acceptance and self-compassion? I always, you know, kind of see a red flag when I'm sitting with a client and they say, well, I have all the compassion in the world for others and I have all the patience in the world for others and I have all the love in the world for others. But when it comes to myself, I struggle with that. And then it kind of unfolds from there as they tell the rest of their story. Just I quickly see how and why they struggle with these things. And I mean, it just seems like a catchphrase, you know, you got to have compassion for yourself and self-love and self-acceptance and all that stuff. But again, it doesn't stop with us. We have self-compassion for ourselves. We will have more compassion for others. If we have self-acceptance of who we are, shadow side and everything, we will have more acceptance for others. We will encourage them by how they see us or so forth. So think of your good qualities and accept the possibility that the opposite is also true. You know, this shadow side, just don't stay in the dualistic back and forth with it. But think of your good qualities and consider the counterpart to those good qualities. And that's where the shadow is going to like pop its head up. So think of it this way. Let's say your good qualities are love, peace, and hope. Okay. Write this down or I will forget it. Love, peace, and hope. Now, as we are sitting with these and we are all happy with ourselves because truly these are wonderful things, love, peace, and hope. But consider the exact opposite. Love, the exact opposite of love is hate or indifference. Or when we consider peace, you know, in the absence of peace, there is what? Chaos, turmoil, confusion. And in the opposite of hope, we might be looking at despair. We might be looking at hopelessness. And what do we do with that? think of those good qualities and then consider what the opposite or shadow side of those good qualities are. And then take it back into your relationships and consider how both good qualities and the not so good qualities are played out with your friends, your families, colleagues, whomever. Okay. Well, in addition to journaling, we all need to take a serious look at probably one of the most difficult parts of the shadow to work through, although it can be, is our harsh criticisms or judgment of others or pointing out the flaws of another. There's an old saying that we are just so, you know, we can, you know, always criticize somebody else. But when it comes to us, it's like, no, we are perfect. We don't, you know, we don't do that to ourselves. Or unless something happens to us and we end up emotionally beating ourselves up. But a lot of times, the harsh criticisms or the judgments of others or pointing out the flaws of another, what's underneath all that? Like, where is this coming from? And judgment of others, is this something that we can kind of trace back to being jealous or envious or critical of ourselves? And therefore, we have to be critical of others. Or, you know, when these are the questions that we have to face. These are the questions that we have to write down in our lives. And so never be afraid to look at your own self. You know, your prejudices, your biases. We don't want to admit it, but they're there. We don't want to admit that we have things in our lives that we don't want to take a look at because, well, then we have to do something. Then we have to take responsibility. But also realize that you may be judged by others for not just the shadow side, but also appreciated for your authentic side. Okay? But again, it's not sides. It's all in one. And release this kind of mentality of, you know, before I can thrive, before I can do anything, I have to be accepted by others. You know that we can thrive by not only, you know, that self-compassion and self-acceptance, but faith in our own truth and faith in God and the source of, you know, all that is good and wonderful. And you keep doing that and you face the shadow side, and I guarantee you, sooner or later, when you've healed these things, when you've integrated them in your life, and you feel and see the transformation that is occurring, I guarantee you, you're going to have this huge sigh of relief, and the healing will be there even more to begin to love all of yourself, everything about yourself, and to allow yourself to be yourself. And begin to know yourself and step fully into your light, your consciousness, by bringing your shadow with you. It's coming along anyway, so you might as well invite it, okay? But it's something that we are committed to do every day, is just speaking to that shadow side and, you know, recognizing that it's there, not being content with it, but recognizing that it's there. And perhaps we can even get to a place in our lives where we, in speaking to the shadow side, that we thank it. Ever considered that one, that we thank these things in our lives we'd rather not look at for showing us, you know, what needs to be transformed in these areas of our character or whatever, okay? These things are here to teach us. And Alan Watts, I don't know if you've read anything from him, but he said a long time ago that when you find out there that there was never anything in the dark side to be afraid of, nothing is left but love. Nothing is left but love. So even when an opportunity to forgive and reconcile with one who has caused us great pain is presented, we can do something about this. And we might even believe that let go of bitterness, that this just might be a sign of weakness, but that's simply not true. Okay. And although each person walks their own path in this life, and but embracing how we can transform, say, the shadow side and with forgiveness, and how we can transform those things that we do not like about ourselves, healing and grace and love, those things, as a person walks their own path, we can embrace and see how forgiveness, healing, grace, and love occur each day and when the person is ready in their lives. And nobody can do this for another. You know, the old saying is the door of healing can be shown, but one must turn the key and walk through. So, well, you've been listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. I'm Dr. James Houck, and I thank you for tuning in. And let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. So I invite you back here with me every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Pacific Time. In the meantime, be safe and take care.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific Time on PBS Radio TV.